May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
The first reading of the morning is Psalm 14. Fools say in their hearts, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none that does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all people to see if there are any that are wise who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is none that does good. No, not one. Have they no knowledge, the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they shall be in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor. The Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When the Lord restores their fortunes, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our second scripture reading today is from Ephesians chapter 3. This book in our New Testament is a letter written to a church in Ephesus, and this passage is a prayer for the church. I invite you to listen for the word of God. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. I recently learned this phrase, 10 toes down. I understand that it's used amongst athletes and in hip-hop songs. It's an expression that refers to being all in. Not just being all in on something, it also means you're grounded, like a linebacker. You've got your toes, all 10 of them. Although I think you could, I digress. You could be 10 toes down even if you don't have 10 toes. 10 toes down means you're grounded and ready to engage. I've been thinking about it in preparation for the Olympic Games, which started this week, thinking about the impressive athleticism and the commitment to sport and the possibility of our human community that's exemplified in the Olympic Games, which are an occasion both for being 10 toes down in a, I hope to win, to get a medal sort of way, but also in a games that somehow also have a spirit of international solidarity about them, that somehow balance our cheering on our own nation more loudly, but valuing that we can do this competition together as a world community. Being 10 toes down is the kind of athleticism that you see in our women's water polo team as they continue to dominate, the kind of athleticism we saw in the updates when we woke up this morning in the U.S. women's gymnastics team, the kind of power that is on full display as people like Simone Biles demonstrate the possibility that the human body can do incredible things, such power and determination and grace. I first learned the phrase 10 toes down, though, from a friend as we were preparing for our United Methodist General Conference this April and May. My friend Hannah was urging me to go 10 toes down. This was several months beforehand as we and others were involved in conversations and organizing, long begun many years past, but reaching an increase as we prepared for General Conference, organizing to finally remove anti-LGBTQ+ restrictions and language from our Book of Discipline. She said, I need you to go 10 toes down on this one, Molly. And so back and forth in the months preceding, it was a decision to do what we could, what was in our power to make a difference in a way that is grounded in awareness of belonging in a community and a struggle that comes long before I joined it, grounded in a movement of God that stretches back to the beginning of everything, grounded in the humility that gives us courage to take up our part, knowing that it's also not all about us. But 10 toes down in a way that says, I'm in on this. I'm going to give myself. And I find it increasingly necessary in a world where it's easy for cynicism to take hold, for things to see impossible or inevitable, to see the challenges that we face as insurmountable. It's easy to choose a more distance stance. It's daring to go 10 toes down in a world of global climate catastrophe, in the insolvable international challenges we face as people who seek for peace, in the reality of a world where increasingly the poor are dispossessed of power as we struggle to overcome white supremacy. This week, there are two news stories that have been representative for me of the competing voices of Christianity in the public space. One, outrage from Christians over a scene in the Olympic opening ceremony that reminded people of the Last Supper, but was inhabited by drag queens. The other, increased awareness of the brutal killing of a woman named Sonia Massey by police who came at her request to her home to allegedly offer support and protection. The reality of brutality against Black lives, Black bodies, continues to be a challenge that we have to deal with. The absurdity of being upset about art performance in the face of the reality of the death-dealing ways of anti-Black practices, policies, cultures, and structures feels to open up for me the challenge of being today. And in the midst of that dissonance, I sometimes am easily thrown off course, easily feel despair, easily feel outrage, feel ready to be swayed by the political winds that incite fear. And then I turn to the scripture passage for today from the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, which offers for us this beautiful prayer. Now, the book of Ephesians is attributed to Paul, although more contemporary scholars have disputed whether or not it was actually Paul that wrote it. There are linguistic differences between Paul's typical writing and this writing that call into question whether or not it was actually Paul. But it is actually a part of our scripture canon, this beautiful prayer that comes in the lineage of Paul's writing, a voice, a message of calm and assurance and power and groundedness that was written for a church in Ephesus, but speaks so clearly to the things my heart longs for today. It is, I think, an invitation to be 10 toes down communities of the people trying to live into the love of God in this moment, in this place, and in this time. Every time I turned to this passage this week and I read it, I felt a softness in my heart, a desire to let these words sink into my being. And so this morning, I want to read it for you again. And I'm going to invite you into a comfortable posture. If you're able to put your feet on the ground, I encourage you to do so. If you can sit up tall and breathe in deep, I'm going to read this passage for you again. And as I read it, relatively slowly, I invite you to let the words wash over you. And I ask you to listen for a word or phrase that speaks to you today. I believe that this passage has such blessing that is meant to make a difference for us, for each of us as individuals, and for all of us together as we try to be faithful to the love of God. So everybody in a comfortable, breathe deeply, 10 toes down. Can you be 10 toes down while you're sitting? I don't know, but we're going to try. I invite you to take in a deep breath. And as you exhale, listen. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I encourage you to turn to a neighbor or two people, if that's what's near you, and tell them a word or words that struck you as you heard that scripture passage today. We'll take like a minute for this. Ready, set, go. If you have to scoot, you can. Thank you for taking a moment to share. I encourage you to let these words sink into your life. I treasure that our scripture contains in it not only instruction, but also a prayer spoken by guidance of the Holy Spirit to us today. I would like to note that every time this passage uses the word you, in Greek, it is a plural you. So they're all y'alls. As I read it, I sometimes hear it as good news for me in a moment of my own anxiety or fear, but it's never meant for some of us apart from all of us. It is a message for the community. I love so many of the phrases in this text that help me understand the quality of the life and love that God intends for us. I love that the prayer begins that we may be strengthened in our inner being. That inner strength so often is different from outer strength. They're certainly not connected to each other, being physically strong, being materially strong, having power in the world, isn't what the author of Ephesians is talking about, but a kind of inner strength that comes from God, a kind of inner strength that lives in our bodies, in our hearts, even when it seems as though the world gives us no power. The letter of Ephesians is attributed to Paul, presumably written from his imprisonment. Paul certainly understood an inner strength that's not dependent on the outer flourishing, political power, material wealth, access to privilege, an inner strength that is something else. Here, the prayer comes to us that we may be strengthened in our inner being. And strengthened in our inner being, the prayer continues that Christ would dwell in our hearts. I love the good news that each of us bears the divine image, that the Imago Dei is in each of us, this theology that comes from the stories of creation in the book of Genesis insists on God's presence in each of us and all of us, in our wondrous diversity, in our actual presence. And I love that Christ has the capacity to dwell in our hearts, a gift of the Holy Spirit that lets us dare to believe that we have Christ's power in us and challenges us to see how Christ is alive in others. Dwelling gives me the sense that this is not a fleeting moment, but an ongoing quality. Christ is nested in our hearts. Christ has made some renovations in our inner selves to be at home and to belong. And I love that this letter to the Ephesians invites us to be rooted and grounded in love. I grew up in Nebraska, where so much of the land was plowed up to turn into farm, but there are now some people and groups interested in helping reseed and remake some of the original prairie grasses that inhabited, that covered that part of our national geography before European immigrants came to grow crops for produce, grain crops. In the old prairie grasses, root systems ran deep. I enjoy cross-section diagrams of grasses visible above ground and the roots visible below ground. And tall grass prairie roots go down 10, 20 feet below the soil, reaching so deep that they have the capacity to draw water even following years of drought, the capacity to remain in place and to spring back to life even after fire or catastrophe. It's those deep roots that I picture in the cross-section diagram of my life of faith when I read this letter to the Ephesians about being rooted and grounded in love. I imagine those roots of our community as being deep, drawing down, down deep to where there's always some water and nutrient to be found to draw up, to feed the moment of life we're in now. I think of the roots and legacies of our community. I guess this is back in time for you all, right? I always get the diagram backwards. As we go back in time, our ancestors in faith, those of this particular community, those of Christianity, those of the people of God from the beginning of time, we have in our ancestry, in our diverse roots, people who've showed us incredible conviction and power about what love can look like in this world. As Ephesians prays that we would be rooted and grounded in love, I think of those people, the ancestors on whose shoulders I stand, the ones who had the power to dare to believe, even when it seemed impossible, to answer hatred with forgiveness, to answer violence with love. Those are the roots that give us life and give us strength. They're a literal grounding that remind us that we stand not only on the surface of the earth, but on metaphorically all that's come before us. Our humility and our hope are an invitation to courage today. I love that the letter to Ephesians invites us to comprehend with all the saints. And in New Testament language, the saints are both those who've gone before us and those who are among us. We're given a power to understand with all the saints, that is, together, not in isolation, but as a community. Our understanding comes in community. And then we're given the power to comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth. Now, this is a sort of side tangent invitation to go to the class that's happening at 11 o'clock this morning where John Holbert will tell us just how impossible translating scripture is. This seems like the appropriate time to flag that these several sentences in the original Greek were one sentence. And it is a bit ambiguous what it is that has breadth and length and height and depth. Presumably, it's the love of Christ or this inner strength that's dwelling in us. In any case, it's something that's substantive, that has dimension, that has presence. It's got breadth and length and height and depth. These are not mere theoretical possibilities, but spatial realities. And as the letter invites us to consider and measure breadth and length and height and depth, I think of children's songs I learned about things that were deep and wide, deep and wide. I think of walls so wide that we have to go around them. I think of impossible heights. And I think of the far surpassing love of God. The letter to the Ephesians invites us to know that the love of Christ, having just measured it in all its dimensionality, surpasses our knowledge. It is beyond what we're ever going to get to. It is unreachable, like the edge of space, perhaps. We'll never quite get there. But nonetheless, it has the capacity to fill us with the fullness of God. This letter to the Ephesians is an invitation to know our own capacity to hold to fullness the love of God. Not just a meager crumb, but a fullness of God. Then the long sentence ends, And the prayer continues, to a God who is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, a God whose boundaries are not limited by our ability to name what we see or know or need, a God who knows more, who sees beyond what we're ready to claim as possibility, further than we can imagine, this God already is able to accomplish more. To the glory of the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations. And suddenly the story which stretched back to our roots stretches forward to our future, a prayer of assurance for this day. This prayer is for me a beautiful grounding in the love of God, in the capacity of the Holy Spirit, in the call of belonging, which may or may not manifest immediately in the world, but has a substantial power that makes a difference in us and for us already. For me, this prayer this week has been a breath in and a breath out to calm my nervous system, to give me a grounding in possibility and hope and life. Passed down over these many generations, it reminds us that we matter, that our neighbors matter, that this world matters, and that there was always, always, always the capacity for the love of God to triumph and to take hold, even when all seems lost or impossible. The psalm that we read this morning, in contrast, is a call out of the problem of faithlessness. But in this psalm, it's not just that people don't call on the name of God, it's their greed that's the problem. It's that they eat humans as if they were bread and have no concern for the poor. The invitation of the psalm, then, is a word of warning about the kind of people we are and how we move in the world, a reminder that it's not enough to just call ourselves those who call after God. It's a reminder that calling after God, that giving faith to God, moves us in our sense of priority and belonging. As a community and being a community together, we know that we have to be concerned for those around us, for our neighbors and strangers, and even our enemies. The blessing, then, of Ephesians, this prayer of assurance, this invitation to know an inner strength, is not about isolating ourselves or elevating ourselves over anyone else. Instead, it's a deep breath in and an exhale that reminds us that we belong together, in continuity with the stories that have come before us and in faithfulness to those who will come after, an invitation to be faithful to the love of God, the love of God whose edges we cannot ever find, to be people who are participating in a love divine that is all loves excelling. I'm so grateful we got to sing that beautiful Wesleyan hymn as we started worship this morning, a reminder to be people who celebrate the power of God's love, even in the face of the real challenges that are before us. Perhaps even more importantly, because we know the struggle that is before us, to be people who care for our neighbors and refuse to give in to lines that separate us from them, whether it's rivals in politics or people across our national border or people dispossessed of power or security or safety, people who speak in a different language or think in different ways. We're invited to be people who belong together under the power of God's love, under the power of the Holy Spirit, together. And to do it 10 toes down, not because we're going to get the gold medal, but to be 10 toes down because of the capacity of our communities to be a beacon of hope, a witness for love, and agents for transformation. And we need witnesses for hope in these days. Churches across the U.S. are today invited to mourn the death of Sonia Massey, to say her name and remember the preciousness of her life as we lament participation in the systems that enable her murder to have happened. We're invited to let our hearts break open for the needs of our neighbors and strangers and enemies. We're invited to let our hearts break open in awareness of the very real grief and loss in our midst. But we do so as a people grounded in love, who are not thrown off, pushed aside, or ready to give up hope in the possibility of love because of the challenge of this moment. Instead, we hear again the words of Ephesians, a prayer given in our Holy Scriptures for us today, an invitation to hope. So I want to read it one more time. And I encourage you to sit in a place where you can breathe deeply as you hear again this prayer offered to us today. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.